Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. I'm here with Chris, you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And as always, Damian, you can find on Twitter at Damian Johnston. Our number one for the week is Joe Gollum, Occult Detective, The Outer Dark, number one on Dark Horse. And our over-under for the week is going to be hot dog topping, so get ready to listen to us tell you that your favorite topping is ridiculous. Right? Nailed it.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And as always, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast or slash the comic roast. You can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast/Star Wars Tabletop. Personally, I am at Slevin77. I don't know if anyone else wants to divulge their info, but
what are we divulging?
Instagrams is.
I think all my stuff is Damian Johnston, so as long as you can spell my name right, you'll find me.
This is true.
Mr. Pop. I can't give mine out because I'm still pondering whether or not I want to change my Instagram.
You've been pondering that for a month now.
I know, I'm still deciding how creepy it is.
Maybe we should let the listeners decide for you.
Yeah, I was thinking about changing my Instagram to Ed Brubaker is my uncle, but I don't know if that's really weird or super really weird, so I haven't decided on it yet.
Blast what? Leaves a transmitter! Circles the globe in search of a listener! Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Probably. I thought what I would do is get an old-timey picture of a man holding a baby, and the man would, I would Photoshop Ed Brubaker's face, and the baby, I'd Photoshop my face with a full beard.
I think that balances out. You should do that.
I think I may just do that just to see. Just test market at this thing and see if it goes anywhere.
You'll Photoshop all that, but you won't Photoshop us a new logo. Priorities.
Clearly, I've done none of this, so I mean, it's not like I'm Photoshopping anything right now.
This is true. This is true. All right, so it's been a nice long 2 weeks. We're off for our Memorial Day. I actually was off the whole week because I figured, screw it, I can get a whole week's vacation with only taking 4 days, because why not, right?
Should have done that. I'm such an idiot.
And, yeah, I spent that week doing a lot of rearranging of my house, which came out so far so good. I'm kind of digging it. You know, we finished the speakers that we were building and got my whole little vinyl set up all ready to go, and it sounds great. So I guess I couldn't be... Oh, and I did, out of all the comics I was reading, I did read start and finish all 6 issues of the Star Trek meets Green Lantern Corps. This was the newest one. The last issue just came out, I think, last month was the finale. So I just read all 6 back to back to back to back to back to back the other night, and it was awesome. It was. I don't know if anyone read the first run. I think Brian did, but the second run here, just to see.
I read the first run too, fool.
Yes, you did. So I don't know. Well, I'm sure you.
I picked it as a number one.
I'm pretty sure I remember that. Yeah, that's why I read it in the first place. But on the second run here, we have the releasing of Khan and his people, and he's released, I shouldn't say accidentally, but he's released by Atrocitus, who happens to succumb to the power of Khan and his people, and then Khan takes over the Red Ring of Fear, or anger, rather, and it was pretty awesome to see Khan as a Red Lantern.
I think I'd be excited if they took over Akon and won a cosplay competition.
Boo. And you say my jokes are bad.
I didn't say all mine were great.
I'd be more excited if Khan had to fight, like, King Diamond or something like that.
See, that just doesn't make sense.
I know, but it would still be cool.
Does King Diamond exist in the Star Trek universe? Like, in the past?
But he could.
I think at this point, we all exist in every universe, so I think it's all fair game. I don't know why Superman hasn't crossed over with, like, one of those nunsploitation characters from the 70s.
Sure, if you look hard enough, you can find it.
I probably could. I don't know. I've been like cataloging rather a list of terrible movies I want to see now. There's a whole series of Happy Hooker movies I didn't even know about till like 3 days ago.
I don't even know what that is.
There's a documentary on Netflix called Electric Boogaloo, which is about the Canon Film Company that like started in the early 70s and lasted through the early 90s. These two guys from Israel, like, they wanted to break out of Israel and become filmmakers, so they started financing and filming all these Israeli films that were basically remakes of American movies in the 60s. And then they decided they were going to take over Hollywood, so they moved to America and started like financing all these horrible movies. And while most major studios at the time were financing about 6 to 8 movies a year, these guys were filming 6 to 8 movies a month for years. So they have an entire catalog of movies, weird movies. Like, some of these titles are just, and there's a whole series of Happy Hooker movies. They were involved in some of the Emmanuel movies in the beginning. But they have some really interesting movies. There was one called American Joe, where Peter Boyle plays this super racist machinist guy who's complaining about immigrants and, you know, gay people and so on. I'm like, man, that sounds like this movie should have came out like a year ago, but it came out like 1971. The documentary is awesome, and it just gave me like way too many titles to look for. So, but yeah, like every movie that came out, these guys made like a sort of, not a remake, but they're like, oh, Clint Eastwood with a monkey. Let's get a 7-year-old with an orangutan. It'll be amazing. And it wasn't like they were Troma, where they were purposely making bad movies. They thought they were legitimately making movies that could contend for an Oscar. So like when the years would go by and they weren't getting nominated, they were like super pissed, because they're like, what the hell? We got Brooke Shields. This movie should totally be up for consideration. Like, these guys had the most amazing lack of self-awareness. They thought the ticket to prestige was boobs and copying other ideas.
Wow.
I mean, it kind of is. Everybody wants to see that stuff, just nobody wants to give awards to that stuff.
You have to watch this documentary. It's so good.
All right, sounds awesome.
I mean, you're going to find out about literally 150 movies you never heard of until that one sitting. And actually, that company, Canon, that's the company, they were behind the last Superman movie, the one that was with Nuclear Man. Apparently, they thought maybe if they went after big, like, properties, they would put them on the map in terms of, like, critical recognition. Like, they were making money, but they're making most of their money overseas. They thought if they maybe went after some bigger properties with big-name actors, they would finally get the respect they thought they deserved. So they said when they decided to bankroll Superman 4, they decided they were gonna put like as much money behind it as possible, and they kind of did for them, but they blew almost the entire budget on getting Christopher Reeve, so the effects are horrible, and the story is horrible. I was like, oh my god, I love this company. They need to put out a box set, so I can just buy it all. I'll buy it all on beta. I don't even care. Like, that's how much I want some of these movies.
Wow, that sounds great. That's on Netflix.
Yes. I don't know if any of their movies are, but the documentary is. I was really bored during the week. Like, really bored.
Wow. Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's what okay. So I was sitting there trying to think of the stupid name of those movies, but since Hulu's got the Criterion movies, maybe Netflix will make a deal to get the Canon movies.
Hulu's got nothing now. They literally got rid of everything good.
Glad I didn't get it.
Criterion took their movies and went to somewhere else, which is, I can't remember the name of it. It's like streaming service for Smarty Pants movies.
Is it called Smarty Pants Streaming?
No, it's like Film.
I wish.
Film something? I forget the name.
Yeah.
Filmcast, maybe. I think there's like 15, maybe like 15 subscribers.
Filmstruck.
That's what. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all like really. It's something that would be awesome to have, but like when Filmstruck came out, it's to no fault of Filmstruck. It was just that moment where I was like, you know what? No, fuck this stuff. With two, they had already saturated the market with online streaming things for me. I don't want any more. Like, same with Seatso and all that other stuff. Like, I'm sure there's great entertainment on there. I'm just getting to a point where I'm realizing that my screens being valuable to me maybe isn't that valuable to me.
Yeah, I mean, because, like you said, there's Seeso, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, Filmstruck, YouTube TV, Sling, and then there's another one coming.
There's PlayStation View.
PlayStation View. There's another one that's coming.
Like, there's a whole bunch more.
And it's like, I can only afford so many of them, and I can only watch so much of it. So, like, I feel like I get...
Yeah, I mean, it is like a golden age of stuff like that right now, but it's like, what am I going to do with all this stuff?
That's why I'll just stick with Prime and Netflix. I was going to say,
Netflix is the gold standard, and Prime is a good enough secondary to where if you have those two, I mean, I guess you could get Hulu, but I'm pretty much going to cancel it after I watch The Handmaid's Tale, so...
You don't even need Prime if you have Netflix and vice versa.
Yeah.
You get way more with Prime.
No, because I've noticed that whatever Netflix has, Prime usually has the same thing.
Right, but Prime also has two-day free shipping. Prime also has music. Prime also has books. Prime is endless.
And they got some.
You don't have
shows
to sell
too,
me on
right?
it. I mean, we are Prime members, so. I mean,
no, I'm just
I'm
saying.
Not, but...
I'm just saying. I love my Netflix. I mean, when it comes to TV, I do watch Netflix more than I watch Prime. But when it comes to everything else, it's Prime for me. Because I stop. Well, I have an external hard drive that has all of my CDs and all my music on it. And because of how creepy things may or may not have gotten at work, I don't like to bring my personal hard drive and leave it there anymore. So now I've downloaded the Amazon Music app, and I just listen to Amazon Music all day instead of bringing my personal files and my personal hard drive, because I don't want it to disappear and walk away when I leave for the day. So it comes in handy.
They use Spotify. Does Prime have like all that stuff?
It's got a lot of it. I mean, you'd have to go through, but...
Yeah.
It's probably got about 40 to 50% of what Spotify has, honestly.
With no commercials?
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Are you really going to listen to 40 million songs? Or are you just going to listen to the same like couple hundred over and over again?
In terms of selection, Spotify blows Prime out of the water by miles. But then there's Prime Unlimited, which has almost everything. But now it's an extra like $10 a month, so... Realistically, if you're looking for music, Spotify is the far better decision. But Prime is...
because Prime didn't have any of the Into Another albums, except for the shitty new one.
They don't even have Blinded by the Light by Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
See, a lot of that stuff... Well, just being the guy that sits here listening to these idiots try and tell Alexa what they want to hear... Well, she's not going to know what you're saying when you say, play Demi Borgir or play whatever ridiculous shit you guys like to listen to. But a lot of it, too, if you don't have it in your library, she's not going to play it. So you got to go and add it to your library first.
A, that's not true because we have listened to that. And B, every Demi Borgir album is on Amazon Prime.
Right, but I've sat here and listened to you screaming at her to play it. And she's like, I don't understand what you're saying right now.
Nailed it.
Well, sounds fun.
Certainly can be. So, Chris, how was your week?
Fine. Hey, Damien, how's Seattle doing?
It's fine.
Are you guys still mourning Chris Cornell?
Oh, no, not really. I mean, that was a bummer. that was a bummer and pretty sudden. But yeah, I mean, the local radio station played Soundgarden and Chris Cornell stuff all day for 24 hours. That was kind of fun to listen to because it was a bunch of stuff I hadn't heard before. I was a fan of that stuff, but so were like most of my friends. But I think, you know, it's one of those things where like dude lived a rad life and felt like he needed to get out, I guess. So he did, and it's kind of a bummer. But you know, if I decide to do that, I hope people don't think I'm a dick. So
I find that a lot of hardcore dudes actually like that first Soundgarden LP.
I think you're hard pressed to find somebody that doesn't.
So what was that?
I was going to say, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't like it, hardcore or otherwise.
Yeah, I don't love it all, for sure, but there's a lot of Soundgarden tracks that are really damn good, so I was, you know, I want somebody I probably listen to that band at least once or twice a month, which isn't huge, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I was never, like, the biggest Soundgarden fan, but, I mean, I was familiar enough with their stuff, but a few years ago when we saw them with the Mars Volta, that was one of the best shows ever. Like, Soundgarden was amazing live. And we're talking about, you know, old men Soundgarden, not the young guy Soundgarden, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Ben Shepherd had been a local at my wife's coffee shop when she was working there for years. I mean, by local to the point where he was there every single time I went there. So I got to know that dude, like, before Soundgarden got back together. And he was a sweet dude, and he always had funny stories to say, tell about all the other guys. He was kind of one of those guys who I think was sort of bullshitting me a lot of times, or to be like, yeah, you know, when I joined the band, that's when things got real interesting. And I was like, all right, well, maybe, but I'm not going to say correlation equals causation here. But he was kind of one of those dudes who was like, sure, I'm the bass player, but I'm very integral. It's like, I didn't say you weren't, you know?
It's because bass players are never like the front of the line.
No.
Unless you're Pete Wentz.
He had cool stories to tell about those dudes, and it seemed like they were real happy and had a good life. It's a bummer, but good for them.
What did he do in the years that the band was doing nothing?
Sat at my wife's coffee shop.
Oh.
He was there like all day, every day. Like I any time I went to visit her, he was just sitting there. Now he I don't know what he did. We talked a little bit. He'd had some project. He had like some business stuff going on. He was an owner of this bar that's down the street from my work called Hazelwood. I think he probably still is, like a silent partner, an angel investor or something. He'd be there occasionally if I went by there. He just kind of like lurked. I think he had money and just sort of liked kind of hanging out. Like, he just seemed like a normal dude.
Do any of the guys from Seaweed kind of lurk around Seattle?
No, those guys all stay in Tacoma. That's where they're from.
Oh, really?
They're very, very proud of being Tacoma. Tacoma's becoming like the cool place to be.
Didn't Clint Werner record your LP?
Yeah, we drove down to Tacoma to record it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad.
No, I mean, it's only 40 minutes away. It's really close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not far. I mean, the airport here is called SeaTac because it's between Seattle and Tacoma. It's really close. But like, my bass player's looking for houses today in Tacoma. People are moving out of Seattle. They're done with it. If you don't work for Tableau or Amazon or Google or Facebook, you really just can't afford to live here anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that because I was looking at real estate stuff online just kind of for no reason. Or there was an article online about average home prices, and they're showing like what a home in Chicago would cost versus what a home in New Orleans would cost. And when it got to Seattle, I was like, oh my God, how does anyone afford that? Like, you have to be...
No one does.
Like, you have to be Bill Gates' nephew to live there.
Like, yeah, our friends, she makes three figures, and they're denied for a loan because they don't make enough to buy a home in Seattle.
Six figures?
Damn.
Yeah.
Because...
It's preposterous. I mean, it's one of these things where, like, we may have to, like, seize property to make things better here.
Well, the graph that I looked at, it said, like, this home is three bedrooms and two baths in the Chicago area, and its average home price is like $260. In New Orleans, it's like $190. In Austin, Texas, it's like $245. In Seattle, this home is $835,000. I was like, whoa.
Really?
Like four times the amount of what it is here, yes.
I would expect that
difference.
If that was California.
Well, that was San Francisco was right up there.
Yeah, Seattle is the fastest growing home market in the country.
I can't imagine.
It's like 1,000 people. It's like 1,000 people a week or something move here.
I can't imagine.
How did you
pick
up so fast?
It's all these stupid tech companies.
See, Chicago's actually Chicago and Illinois is losing population year by year. So,
cool.
Chicago's down big time.
That means we'll be cool again.
Chicago's down to like 2.7 million, which doesn't sound like a big loss from 2.9, but. I don't think Chicago is the third largest city any longer. I think we're fourth, maybe even fifth now.
Well, we have a mayoral election coming up here because our mayor had to basically... Our mayor is still our mayor, but he basically said he's not going to run for re-election because there's a bunch of allegations about him getting it on with teenage boys when he was a younger man.
Oh, awesome.
And it's not sure at all how I mean, he's gay, so it's not weird that he'd be hooking up with boys, but that he was, like, in his 20s, like, working for, like, I can't remember what it was, like, he was helping, like, troubled youth or something. So it was people who were definitely, like, not in positions to maybe make the best decisions for themselves. But he...
Sounds like someone we were just talking about last weekend.
Yeah. But it's it's not certain whether or not it's even true. The people who accused him are like maniacs and drug addicts and just people who have been known to be like horrible liars for most of their lives. So it's one of these things like, is this true? I don't know. I don't care. I don't like our mayor. I don't like the direction he's taken our city here very much. So I'm not sad to see him go, but I think it seems a little bit like a takedown, this whole thing. Like it doesn't feel right, and there's not a lot of evidence that it's actually accurate. But that said, there's a bunch of people running for mayor, and
is Gallagher one of them?
No, sadly not. One of the front runners is our mayor we had before this, Mike McGinn, who won when Obama won. In 2008, he kind of came in on that liberal wave that kind of went across the country and immediately dispersed. He is. I like him. I don't know if I'm going to vote for him necessarily because there's a couple other good candidates too. But he's really pushing for an income tax. And if we got just a citywide income tax, like Los Angeles County has, or the city of Los Angeles has, we could. It might actually. Turn it might push a few people out, maybe take a few businesses to be like, well, you know, we're going to give you this big amount of money, but you got to pay, you know, 20% on top of whatever your normal taxes are if you live in, you know, if you work or live in Seattle. So it might be a little bit of social engineering to make things a little better, but I think honestly it's probably going to be too little too late. Best thing for Seattle at this point is probably that earthquake.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh, but
it's supposed to be bad. It's supposed to like take the entire city just away. Like it'll just be gone. Everyone who moves here knows that's going to happen, and it could happen any second. We're like 10,000 years overdue for it.
Yeah, it's again, we can go. There's another subtopic we can veer off into from here, which is the whole, you know, basic income discussion. I read a really interesting thing about that like a couple days ago about some guy saying it's a terrible idea. It's well-intentioned, but it's a bad idea. And he said there's something we could be doing to alleviate all of our woes a lot quicker and a lot simpler that no one's talking about. And that is lower the retirement age, raise the wages, and shorten the work week and add more vacation time.
I'm into that.
So I was just like, he said there should be a minimum of like 6 to 8 weeks vacation a year per employee. The work week should be reduced to 25 to 30 hours a week. The average salary should be about $50,000 a year. And we should increase our national holidays by about 3 times what we currently have.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
And he said we can get as much work done, people will have more money to spend, and people will live better lives, and it will solve the income inequality gap much quicker than a universal basic income would. And he also said... He also argues that will actually level the playing field in terms of real estate as well, because people will have buying power again in terms of buying homes and such. Don't know if it would work. I like the idea, and when I saw how much the average home costs in your area, I was like, oh my god, I have no idea how you do it.
12 years ago, we were offered to buy the home that we all lived in, or 14 years ago, the shitty punk rocker house I had, and it was like $110,000. We're like, dude, fuck that, it's so expensive. Like, we all talked about maybe going in on it together. It just resold recently for like $600,000, and it's not any better. That's the thing, is like, there's no more, the house isn't suddenly made out of walls that produce food, you know? It's like, it's just the same shitty house that we like carved like satanic stuff into the load bearing pillars of the house. Like, it's not a nice place to be. It's just one of those things, like housing value is just this market driven thing. And there's just so many things that I mean, are way beyond my comprehension about how markets work and how houses work that I just don't understand, but we'll see. I mean, right now I'm just looking for a new place to live, to rent, and I'm trying my best to find a place that's somewhat affordable that I can actually make it to work. So we'll see.
Tacoma or Boston?
Saint Tacoma's 40 minutes away. That doesn't take account for traffic. It's like 2.5 hours away.
Oh.
if you drive. So it's almost a distance of like Portland.
So you just get yourself a helicopter. Duh.
I know. I'm being lazy.
I'm thinking a Segway might help you, like make it through traffic, though.
Yeah, because those totally go for it.
I could probably do it.
Well, they're building charging lanes in some of these new highways, so maybe if you get on one of those, I don't know. I got nothing. I'm wrestling with my own 90-minute drive to work every morning, looking at trucks coming towards me going, what would really happen if I just went, eh? I mean, that guy's day is ruined, but I don't have to do this anymore.
Before we get to the number one, did you guys do anything for Memorial Day that was interesting? I didn't, so I'm not using that opportunity to suggest something I did.
I think we just played games the entire time, literally. I meant to watch Logan.
We went to the GOAT and played games. And
oh, that's
then
right.
Came back here and played more games.
Yeah, we played a bunch of new stuff, and then I meant to watch Logan because I got the Blu-ray, and it comes with the black and white version called Logan Noir. Same exact movie, but it's Logan Noir, and I was like, oh, dude, I'm totally going to watch that, and I succeeded at watching, like, nothing. I think I watched 3 episodes of the Carmichael show, which actually I don't hate, so. I mean, the show's cheesy, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's not the worst thing ever, I guess.
I've not seen it. I did watch Logan, finally.
Oh, you didn't see it in the theater?
No, so I didn't get to see it in the theater.
I fell asleep, though.
Oh, brother. What did you think of it?
I thought it was great.
Agreed.
I like that they openly reference the movie Shane, because it really is basically like a retelling of the movie Shane.
Yeah, they mentioned something.
In a really good way. That's a great movie.
I like it that it's more violent.
How could you know? Fell asleep.
Pops. Yeah, for like a good maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Pops?
It was also like at 11:30 that I was watching it. Yeah, Pops is right. Yeah, I am.
How can we get all defensive? Anyway. But no, we didn't do anything, like, extraordinary.
I know you guys are going to do a podcast about it, but you saw Wonder Woman too, right?
Oh, yes.
I have not seen it yet.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going tomorrow morning. I still haven't seen it.
I'll reserve my further commentary for my best thing ever, which has now been exposed. So, yeah, it was actually great. Like, really great.
I'm kind of nervous about taking my daughter to it, but because she's so little and I'm worried there's lots of death. But then I took her to see Guardians of the Galaxy. So I was like, well, you know, she can watch that happen, and then she can watch this.
I mean, there's like one part, but I mean, I don't recall seeing any like super violent stuff.
Just use
it's not,
the
it's not, like, not like Logan, which I would not let her see watch that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, you wouldn't. Yeah, you, when we watched it, Logan was asleep.
Mm-hmm. Just do the typical American parent, like, oh, comics are for kids. It's cool.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie and say there's no violence in it. There is, but it's pretty much bloodless. It's on the level of like T-rated video game violence. Maybe not even that harsh.
Well, wasn't Logan like kind of off or inspired by Mark Millar's Old Man Logan?
No, we're talking about Wonder Woman, though.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
No, I'm saying
I thought Logan was inspired by Grumpy Old Men. That's like my best. Like when people ask me how it was, I'm like, yeah, dude, it's like Grumpy Old Men with the X-Men. It's kind of awesome.
See, I kind of saw it
fuck
more.
Fuck you, Logan.
I kind of saw it more as a Shogun Assassin, or Lone Wolf and Cub, or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
But yeah, Wonder Woman to me was no more violent than like Lord of the Rings.
Okay, yeah, she can handle that. She's really excited. My Arcane Comics, my favorite Instagram for comic shops, is having Wonder Woman Day today. So after this, we're gonna zip up there.
Actually, yeah, we just came from ours a little while ago. Lori was
actually.
They
gave you guys tiaras.
They actually were handing out tiaras and armbands. Yeah.
And I do plan on. I do plan on wearing.
Did you get one?
I'm gonna wear mine to the movie tomorrow.
Sweet.
Providing that it wraps around my big fat head.
You should dress up as Wonder Woman too and wear the suit.
If I had it, I would.
Well, it's funny actually.
And don't shave your legs.
After the movie, my friend and I were standing outside talking, and he's like, dude, look. He's like, that guy's dressed like Superman. And he thought the guy was just dressed like Superman arbitrarily. And I'm like, yeah, he's dressed like Superman. But I'm like, look. And I'm like, he's holding his like 5-year-old daughter's hand, who's also dressed like Supergirl. And he's like, oh, wow. He's like, no, I feel like a jerk for making fun of him. I'm like, should feel like a jerk for making fun of him. I'm like, his daughter's probably so pumped right now. And he's being like the best dad ever, dressing up like a superhero for her.
Yeah, I mean, he should be able to dress like Superman when he goes to work, too.
I agree. I don't know why I don't go to work dressed like the Tick every day.
Yeah, you'd really enjoy your job a lot more if you did.
I mean, going to the bathroom...
Talk like him, too.
Going to the bathroom would suck, but I mean, whatever. People would move away from my desk, and I'd just be like, I don't know what to tell you. That's how it's got to be.
Did you guys watch, just real, before we get back on track, did you guys ever watch the first Tick live action with Putty? Patrick Warburton?
No. Actually, I looked at Half Price Books a couple times, and I haven't seen it on sale, so I haven't been able to get it. And I don't see it on any of the streaming things. But I know August 15th or August 21st is when the new one comes on Amazon.
Oh, do you know who's going to be the Tick?
The guy,
the guy from the pilot, right?
Yeah, the guy that was in Guardians of the Galaxy, British actor. He's been in other movies. I hope. I forget the guy's name.
Is he in the first Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, he's like John C. Reilly's sidekick. He's the one that says, "What a bunch of a-holes."
Oh, okay, yeah, he was in one of those Melissa McCarthy movies, the one where she's a spy.
It's just called Spy, I believe.
Peter Serafinowicz.
Okay. Yeah, that guy's funny.
He was in Shaun of the Dead. He was in Episode 1 as... He was Darth Maul.
What?
Yeah, apparently he was Darth Maul.
Really? I thought Ray Park was Darth Maul. Interesting.
Maybe anyway, it was in animated.
Yeah, I forgot he was in Shaun of the Dead. He was the nerdy boyfriend, I think.
I haven't seen that in too long. I don't remember who you're talking about.
Anyway, the
oh yeah, Ray Park was. All right, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You're right. You don't.
Anyway, we can get back to it. We're meandering here. It's my fault. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, because we don't do this every week.
It's true.
All right. So the number one was Joe Gollum, Occult Detective. The Outer Dark, number one on Dark Horse. This was Damien's pick, so we will let Damien speak.
Speak.
I picked this purely on the name. I thought the name was really cool. I didn't know anything about the character. I had thought originally, because I had never heard of it, I poorly thought that this was like a first issue total of all the character, and that is absolutely not true.
Yep.
I had to do a little research about Joe Gollum after I read this first issue, because I was like, wow, what the fuck is happening? Joe Gollum is a guy who is an assistant of a sort of an arcane detective in the mid to early 60s, as the stories start out. This story that we read is 67. And I like that it kind of fits into that sort of, burst of silence, noir kind of world that I really enjoy. But the character Joe Gollum is this guy who has these dreams of being a golem from like the 16th century. And somehow those stories kind of connect with the stories that are happening here. In previous stories, he helped stop some child murderer person. And then there was also a novel, like an illustrated novel, called Joe Gollum in the Drowning City, which refers to the setting of the city that we see in the version of Manhattan we see in this comic, which completely confused me, in which like the first three stories of most of Manhattan is covered in water, like 30 feet of water, from something that's happened in this earth, this version of earth. And so the people call that part of Manhattan the Drowning City, and they've turned it into sort of Venice, but super sketchy. And so that's sort of the setting of these worlds. This story is called The Outer Dark, starts with basically the, besides this ongoing story that I was not privy to at all, starts with these Germans basically coming into America, and they're the right age that maybe there'd be some sort of Nazi connection, which I'm kind of maybe looking forward to. But one of them appears to be hearing voices and just goes and starts butchering people on some ferry boat and escapes. And Joe Gollum and his sort of guy he works with are called in to help investigate. And that's where this sort of ends. But, I mean, lots of other stuff happens. I just didn't say any of it.
This is true. I also never heard of this character before. And when Brian's like, yeah, it's Joe Gollum number one. So I typed it in, and I was like, dude, there's like six of them. Which one is it? But I quickly found, you know, the one that came out last week. I'm like, oh, nailed it. This has got to be it. And it's kind of disappointing, only because unless I misread it on the cover, that was one of three. So this is going to be a pretty short book, I think. But overall,
yeah, you're right. It's one of three.
It was, I don't know, I super enjoyed this book. It was awesome on many, many levels, in my opinion. And plus, like, with the whole connection back to the weird religious brotherhood, just makes it that much more intriguing. And then this old guy who kind of takes care of Joe Gollum, what's the deal with him?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of things.
The guy makes the tea.
Yeah. And then what's up with this guy not wanting... I mean, the guy, Joe Gollum is... He's easily, you know, in his 30s at least, I would assume. And he's like, oh, we can't let Bill know that you're spending the night. It's like, why? He's not your father. He's not nobody. He's just some dude that... He's the landlord of the building, basically. It's like... I don't know. It was just super weird, but like I thought it was kind of awesome. Like this whole book.
Maybe it's like a bosom buddies kind of thing. Like, ooh. Like women aren't allowed in the building.
Could be, but it would be tea, not booze.
It's true.
Maybe at the end of the third issue, the landlord pulls his mask off, and it's Ralph Furley, and he goes, "You meddling kids."
Probably.
Now I just combined Scooby Doo and Three's Company together.
Yep, and Joe Gollum.
With Joe Gollum.
Dude, I don't know.
So I said everything is in the same universe. Now.
I pretty much I love this book, and I want to know more about Joe Gollum. Well, I don't know.
I did too. Actually, went to the library, and today I picked up the Joe Gollum and the Drying City novel. So it looks like a really easy read.
So
like,
now you're like gonna know why it's. Wait a minute, the Drying City.
Drowning
City.
Yeah. Oh, so now you're gonna have the backstory to this one that we don't know.
Yeah. Well,
you can go to the library and get this.
I don't have a library card.
You've been banned from the library.
Apparently so, because they're always closed around here.
That's not true.
It's not true, but whatever.
I work like 10 feet from our library, so it makes going there really easy.
Oh, I'm going to start using the library shortly, so...
I recommend it for stuff you don't feel like buying and... or downloading. Like, it's awesome. You can just put a big, like, Netflix-style list up generally and... they let you know when shit arrives.
Well, actually, the guy that runs the gaming store down the street here was telling us that they have a 3D printer at our library, and you just bring in your files, and they'll let you print whatever you want.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's some kind of a rental fee, because I'm sure they have to pay for the filament, so I don't know. I kind of, like, that's intriguing to me.
I'm sure you got a
little scythe robots.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. What about Joe Gollum?
Oh.
I don't know. He seems cool.
Right?
No, I remember when the last or one of the previous Joe Gollum stories came out, I was kind of intrigued, and then I went, I'll just check it out another time. I know this is a Mike Mignola book, and I saw that Christopher Golden is the writer with him, and I think Christopher Golden does a lot of the writing of the Mike Mignolaverse novels, because I know there's one for Baltimore and one for Hellboy. Actually, there's several for Hellboy. The Amazing Screw on Head, I think there's one, and then the Joe Gollum one. What I liked about this particularly is it didn't, not that I don't like Mike Mignola's art style, but this had more of a noirish Sean Phillips art style, which I was kind of like, oh, this is a neat departure because I'm not used to this in a Mike Mignola book. So it definitely fit the more noir pulp fiction style that I like. But reading this thing, aside from the whole connection to a possible supernatural world, I'm reading this thing kind of thinking, like, this reminds me of The French Connection and some of Jess Franco's weird movies, but in a good way. Like, if Jess Franco had competent dialogue and storytelling ability, like, this would be it. But then when you watch a Jess Franco movie, generally he just finds, like, a, you know, transsexual vampire to throw in a story for no reason, because that's what he does. Although, the movie I kept specifically thinking of his was Venus and Furs, which I don't know if any of you have seen. The movie is just okay. It's about, like, a femme fatale who's got, like, magic weird murder powers. But the soundtrack is fucking amazing. And I don't think there is a soundtrack for it, but to kind of circle back to Manfred Mann's Earth Band, Manfred Mann was the soundtrack composer for this movie. The music is way too good for this, for how mediocre and B-rate this movie is. Although it is probably Jess Franco's best movie.
I will check that out.
Yeah,
I'm going to the library right now.
The movie is not great. It was one of those Blue Underground re-releases that came out in the mid-2000s.
Okay.
All I remember is that Klaus Kinski's in it. It's a weird movie. And the soundtrack was fantastic. But it, for some reason, and I could have no really good reason for this, I kept thinking Venus and Furs meets the French Connection. And I mean all those as a good thing, because I love the French Connection.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a solid movie. Okay, cool.
With a little bit of Mike Mignola's weird monster stuff. But way more like murder mystery noir than Hellboy or Abe Sapien or any of that other stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Did you read it, Chris?
Yeah, it was okay.
I mean, it was hard for me to know what was going on. I mean, I think if once I put in a little research and got just even some kind of quick overviews of the whole world and why things were the way they were, like the book kind of got bigger for me, kind of made a little more sense. But I like right after I got done, my first instinct was, that was cool. What was that? Like I was like, oh, I feel bad for the other guys because I just made them read something that like clearly you need to know a lot of backstory. Like this is as much issue one as. It really is more like issue 6.
That's how I felt when I was reading Hellraiser.
It's like having someone walk into like the Lord of the Rings things by like starting with Return of the King and having someone be like, "Wait, what? What's there's a ring that's important? What? Why are these guys little? Wait, is that a monster?" Like, you need a little backstory, I think. And I went and got some, and I ended up liking this quite a bit more once I got that. I mean, the tone I thought was great. The setting was great. The art's awesome, like you said. Very, very similar to a Sean Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
The colors, I guess. Kind of reminded me of like nice.
The artwork kind of reminded me of like Sabrina or like Afterlife with Archie.
I haven't seen that stuff.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
a long while. But yeah, we number it and moving. Yes, yes.
Sure.
Well, why don't you take the honors, sir?
All right, I'm gonna give it a 7.5. Kind of want to give it an 8. Fuck it, I'm gonna give it an 8. I'm definitely gonna read the rest, and like I said, I went and got the book, so I'm gonna read that. I'm sure I'm going to continue on and also go back and find it. Like, and I like the name. I think the idea that he has dreams of being a golem is crazy and awesome. Implies maybe this sort of idea that like the golem achieved a soul at some point, and that soul is now him. Maybe there's some sort of weird, like, warging Game of Thrones, Hodor kind of thing happening here.
Where he starts calling everything precious.
or Hodor. So, I don't know. I'm pretty fascinated. I think they did a good job of setting something up for even... I mean, not for someone who hadn't seen before. You have to have read these before, I think. But, I mean, I certainly was interested, so...
Yeah, I agree. I was when I saw the title, Occult Detective, I started thinking those Jim Butcher novels, The Dresden Files. And I'm happy to say this is not that there's anything wrong with The Dresden Files. The little bits I've read of The Dresden Files I always thought was pretty cool, and I always wanted to revisit it. This is a totally different thing. Definitely feels more of its time, the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. It's got that slower pace to it, which is awesome. And it's not directly supernatural, at least not yet. But it's still got the occult weirdness, which I like. So yeah, I'm totally at an 8.
For me, this is the third Mike Mignola Dark Horse thing we've done in the last month and a half, 2 months, it feels like. And this was the best one, in my opinion.
Agreed.
And I didn't think I was gonna like it as much as I did, but I'm at an 8.5 all day. And knowing that now it's only 3 issues, I'll definitely get the other 2.
But, I think I want to go back and read the first volume first and kind of go in order. Because I did, like I said, like you said, I really thought this was pretty great. Way better than, I initially thought, because initially I thought, is this going to be like the, like I said, I thought it was going to be more like the Dresden Files, and it's not. So yeah.
I'm at a 7.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, we're all pretty similar.
I'm at a 7. I probably won't go and read the other ones, and I won't continue on with it.
Alrighty. Moving on to Over Under. We're going to talk about hot dogs, people. So get your face ready for that. So obviously, being, you know, from Chicago, you know, it's one of the most famous styles of hot dogs is the Chicago style. And I feel like a lot of places probably try to replicate it, but probably can't pull it off. And it's really not that hard, but I don't know. Whatever. But I will say, as far as overrated...
This guy talks like, if you don't live in Chicago, you might as well not even eat at all.
I'm just saying.
Well, you know, just so I know, so I'm clear, not being from Chicago, you should tell me what makes it quintessentially like a Chicago dog? What's the thing people try to rip off? Is it the celery salt?
Well, it's not that they try to rip off. I just, you know... You know, well, it's got to be the red hot. It's got to be the, you know, the poppy seed bun. You got the onions, the mustard, the sport peppers, the pickle, and the tomatoes, and the celery salt. You know, it was a cheap quote unquote meal that was designed to, you know, be more than just a hot dog for people who didn't have a lot of money. Basically,
things you cannot get anywhere else.
I'm not saying you can or can't. But I'm just saying, you know, Chicago's known for hot dogs, dick nuts. But the one thing that I, like, I'm not saying it's not good on a hot dog, but, like, I don't get the fascination is people that, like, douse their entire hot dog in chili.
Nah, that was going to be mine, too.
like, don't get me wrong, like, it's tasty, but the whole point of a hot dog is being able to eat it with your hands, pick it up and eat it. You can't do that. With a chili or chili cheese dog, don't even get me going on that for crying out loud. I just feel like you're going way overboard. If you're gonna dump chili on something, just get a tamale boat or something. I don't know. The whole chili on a hot dog is just too messy.
See, I was gonna say that, and I was expecting to get yelled at. So I was like, you know what? I don't feel like getting.
Oh, I love chili and I love hot dogs, but like together, like, it's not, like I said, not that it's not good. But I just feel like it's not feasible as far as being like easily eaten.
Yeah, no, I'm on board. That's good. I'm gonna share that one with you because that's exactly my thing. I love chili, love hot dogs. But when you put them together, it's like you've kind of ruined both a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, like you wouldn't go to a chili parlor and just take a loaf of bread and just like shove it to the bottom of the bowl and like jab it around. Like, oh, good, finally chili in its perfect form with a bunch of bread soaking up all of the juices that make the chili awesome. Like,
right. I mean, if it was such a great combo, you know, world-class winning chili would have chopped up hot dogs in it, and you're never going to see that. That's, yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, yeah.
It just doesn't work for me either. It's something that I think I want whenever I see it, but it's like, well, first of all, I'm going to have to eat this with a fork and knife, which is weird.
See, this is going to be...
Yeah, and it kind of ruins both things for me, so...
This will probably be equally weird, but like I feel like when a hot dog is cut in half or in quarters or worse, it's like, oh, I don't want to know.
Like, yeah, people say you don't want to see how the sausage get made. Like, you don't want to see the sausage.
Like, if it's not in tube form, like sealed at both ends, like don't even show it to me. I don't want to see it. Like, you ruined lunch, and now I'm just going to cry. All right. Mine is shoestring potatoes, or as I call them, fries that no one wants. Whoever invented the shoestring French fry should be thrown into a river. They're the worst human alive. That is not a potato. That is a fried stick. And seriously, like half the places around here, they're like, oh, we'll...
You might as well take potato skins and just fry those up.
Yeah.
That'd be better,
well, there's a place around here we go to a lot, and there's, unfortunately, a lot of them popping up now, and oddly enough, the place is called Pops. There used to only be like two or three of them. Now there's like 400 of them, and their quality has gone down a bit since they've expanded, as most places do when they perform that idiotic action. And you go there, you order like a Maxwell Street Polish or a hot dog, and they're like, I'm like, oh, can I get fries with that? And they're like, oh, fries come with it. And I'm like, oh, that's right. And these are the fries I don't like either, because they're shoestring fries and they're always overcooked and they suck, and I wish people would stop making them. I don't know who likes them, but I do not. They are terrible. Wedge fries or crinkle cut only, otherwise you're just wasting everyone's time.
I don't like steak fries.
Oh, steak fries are delicious.
It's too much potato.
I agree. Like,
that's how you're supposed to have it.
No. I agree with Chris on that one.
All right, fine. You guys are all fighting me on this one.
Yeah, steak fries are too... It's like too much potato.
No, I get it. I get the shoestring. That's, you know... Nope.
The shoestring is way too little.
There's got to be the perfect amount. You take a steak fry, cut it in half, and you got like the perfect size.
Yeah, exactly.
Or waffle fries are always good because then it's just a waffle.
That's just a potato net, and I don't want that either.
It's good. It's good for catching your condiments. A potato net. That was one of your better ones. I like it.
I literally just came up with that.
You know what I just came up with? Not to totally derail the show again, but I just ordered an awesome new shirt with a. It's got the new seal for the Department of Education. It's Jesus riding a dinosaur. And it says Department of Education.
I feel like that's a forecast for something that's actually going to happen.
Say something like you got the big man plan shirt that you never got.
No, I don't think that's ever going to happen. The only thing I got out of that was the sticker, and I don't think I'll ever get anything else.
You should wear that shirt to work, Brian.
No,
I would. All day. All right, Christopher, next.
All right, what was the thing again?
Overrated hot dog toppings.
Relish?
Were you asking or were you telling?
No, I'm just kind of throwing it out there. I don't know. I've never seen... I'm trying to think of what they do nowadays to a hot dog.
Around here, nothing too spectacular, but apparently out by Damien, that's where it gets weird.
What do they do?
Well, you were telling us a few months ago about the cream cheese and sriracha hot dog.
Okay, that sounds dumb.
It does, but it also maybe kind of sounds delicious.
It's good. It's really good.
You know what? I don't even eat hot dogs, and I can't even tell you the last time I had one. Probably when I was 14. Not that even when I was a kid, I was like never really like a big hot dog person. Not that I don't like them.
Apparently you don't like them.
No, I do. It's just like...
Apparently you're overrated, like, the hot dog itself.
Okay, then. That hot dog is overrated.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But no, like, I've never... Like, I don't, like, go... Yeah, you know, like, when we go to Portillo's or something, I'm like, no, I gotta get a hot dog.
I pretty much always get hot dogs there, and now I think that's where I'm gonna go for dinner.
I don't hate that idea.
But...
And I got half a ham sitting in the freezer right now.
But if I was, you know, to think of, like, the perfect hot dog, it would be, like, you know, like...
SpaghettiOs.
Mustard.
Oh. Did you say SpaghettiOs?
Yeah.
I would just say, like, you know, like a tomato, pickle, some onions, and mustard, and... There you go.
Pretty much, yeah.
What's
that's pretty much the Chicago hot dog right there. Portillo's is, and what was the other one? The one that had the hot dog and the hamburger, like, to the two hot dog and hamburger people, like, on top of it. You know what I'm talking about, Brian? Scott? It was in Chicago.
It's probably still there, but I don't
know. Yeah,
recall.
I can't think of the name right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you go in down into, like, downtown or into the city, there's a lot of, like... I don't want to say fancy because we are talking about hot dogs, but that's where all like the fancy hot dog places are.
I would say if you ask anyone around here in Chicago or in the suburban area, I'm pretty sure most people, one of the top three would be Gene and Jude's.
Never heard of them, but I would say most people would say Portillo's.
And that one too.
I would disagree with all that and say actually, pricey as they may be, the best hot dogs are actually at the... U.S. Cellular Field.
That's what I was going to ask. Is there like a thing like at like out when there's a game like outside the ballpark? Do people like, oh, you got to go there?
Not outside.
There is actually because I used to go to a lot of White Sox games. The hot dogs there are fantastic, but they stop making them after the fifth inning. So if you wait too long, they're gone, which is dumb because they'll just throw out what's left, which is ridiculous. But there's a place about 4 blocks away, and the name escapes me. It's Irish owned at least, because they make sure you know by putting shamrocks all over the place. Their hot dogs are also like phenomenal. I wish I could remember the name, because I actually lived across the street from there for a year, and I went there like once a week. Because they have weird hours, too. Like, during the baseball season, they're open till like, 10. But during the off season, they close at, like, 4:30, which is super weird.
Then go drink.
I think.
Yeah, I literally just saw something on TV about, like, the best place in Chicago to get the hot dog, and I can't find it now. But now I just kind of want to say, screw it, let's go in this city and get some hot dogs.
Scott's house.
Yeah, right. All right, so anywho, Damien, are you still just going to piggyback?
Yeah, I'm just a piggyback. I feel so strongly about that one.
I don't disagree, obviously, because I completely agree.
You know what the worst chili dog you can get is, though? I think is probably the one you get from 7-Eleven.
Ew, what?
Yeah. When
you're on tour.
I wouldn't eat anything from there.
Occasionally, I'd do that thing where I'd be on tour, and I'd be like, Damien, you're driving all through the night, and you have to kind of like, you have to go pull over and get gas, and you also have to kind of get psyched up to drive all night. Because you've just played a show and you're sweaty and you feel shitty. And I would be like, well, fuck it, I'm making myself a whole meal at the 7-Eleven. It's like, well, you know, I could do the nachos with the chili and the cheese, or I could do the hot dogs, chili and cheese. Hot dogs seems more sensible. So, you know, I do that and get, like, Gatorade and just a bunch of fucking garbage. And
instead of, like, the turkey sandwich and the banana.
Oh, totally. Yeah, those bananas there, I think those are plastic. I don't think anyone's ever gotten a banana from 7-Eleven.
I've gotten the turkey sandwich from 7-Eleven, and it's complete garbage. So I don't recommend.
See, as far as I know, like as far as my 7-Eleven eating habits go, it's like, well, I guess I'm getting beef jerky.
My 7-Eleven eating habits at this point are usually, I'll just starve. I don't want to eat.
Yeah, right. God, and like when we were kids, like Slurpee was the greatest thing ever. Now it's like, dude, get away from me with that thing.
At this point, yeah, if I pass,
yeah, I just had a Slurpee like not too long ago, and it was pretty awesome.
If I pass a 7-Eleven now, it's usually like, ah, there might be a roadkill somewhere. Forget this.
All right, I think it's time to start. We're gonna start our food blog, and we're gonna go to all the convenience stores and rate their food.
I'm not putting myself through the hospital for that. Forget it. Actually, Thornton's hot dogs aren't the worst.
I've had them. Not gonna lie,
the girl at work goes there on purpose, so I mean they're really not that bad.
All right, so underrated hot dog toppings, and I only am gonna say this because 9 times out of 10 I just watch people pick them off. But the little sport peppers that they put on there are awesome, especially if you eat them with the hot dog. But 9 times out of 10 I watch people pick them off and throw them away. Like, what are you doing? Like those things. Those little peppers are amazing, and you're just throwing them away. You don't know what you're doing. You should be fired.
Well, I usually don't get them, so.
I always get them. I love those little things.
All right.
Kind of like the peppercinis. Like when you go to like Olive Garden, you get the salad, and you get those peppercinis, and people just toss them to the side. Dude,
that's probably what it is on your hot dog, a peppercini.
Well, it's the little sport peppers.
You're a little peppercini.
I wish.
All right. Mine actually is crinkle-cut garlic fries.
On your hot dog?
You had me until you said garlic.
With your fries. I mean, it was like a hot dog combo, hot dog topping sort
right,
of thing.
Yeah.
Because shoestring fries are an abomination from Satan's anus, garlic fries, on the other hand, are awful for you.
What if they're garlic shoestring fries?
No, fuck that noise. And shoestring.
So you're
anything.
Saying garlic crinkle fries are like a gift from Zeus?
They are. I mean, they're terrible. They are like heart attack city. But man, they are worth the gamble.
Every
oh
day
my
time
god!
Song, it's like he envisions them being presented by like Aphrodite.
Well, the place that around here that has them, they don't give you a sensible portion. Which I mean, when you're talking about French fries, there's really no such thing as a sensible portion, but. What they give you is literally enough to kill a medium-sized animal, and you're just like, ah, I'm going to try and eat them all because these are amazing. And when they slam...
Fried potatoes are good, period.
Oh, these things are they're deadly, but oh my god.
There you go. Next time Chris comes out, we'll take him to Sub City.
Yeah, it doesn't look... When you walk in the place, you're like, what are we doing in this homeless shelter? But then you order the garlic fries, and you're like,
dude,
oh,
I love
that's,
their food.
That's why, the garlic fries. And they're open till like 4 a.m. for no reason at all. You can always count on them being open like when you're driving home at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday.
I don't think they're open just for no reason.
No one.
They're waiting for your ass to get there at 2 in the morning for your crinkle, for your garlic crinkle fry.
I've gone binge. In there. I've gone in there at 2:30 in the morning before to get garlic fries. It has happened, so it's not
That's
like
why they're open until 4.
Yeah, they're like Brian's on his way. Just keep the doors open. Keep that garlic.
Step in the door. They have your order ready.
Keep that garlic at the ready. Man boobs is on his way.
What the hell is that playing in the background?
Oh, can you hear the piano music or whatever?
Is that Jeremy Anik and the Frog Queen?
No, my daughter's playing Disney Infinity on the PS4.
Oh, yeah, my son has that. It lasted for about 2 days, and then he was done.
It might circle back around.
We got it at Value Village, or Goodwill. Like, it was in the box at the Goodwill for, like, $9.
Yeah, but the only bad thing is Disney stopped supporting it back in March.
Yeah, so you only have the, like, 40 guys that they already put out. You're stuck with just those.
Oh, darn.
All the guys are, like, on sale.
Yeah, I figure we'll hit up the yard sales this summer in the neighborhoods. I bet we'll find some.
I keep trying to get Brian to go to yard sales and garage sales, and he won't go.
Really?
Yep.
They're fun.
I'm thinking about like hitting some up around in this area that I live in, because I figured that
I just want to look for old games, old comics, and old records.
Scott wants somebody's DeBarge album collection.
The beat of the rhythm of the night.
Now here you can find some good stuff.
Never know.
Board so, games, man. People get rid of board games at yard sales all the time.
Some guy's going, will somebody please buy this Billy Ocean album?
I like Billy Ocean.
Do you? Just like his whole catalog or just Caribbean Queen?
Yeah, just Caribbean Queen.
I used to know this dude that was completely obsessed with Billy Ocean.
Really?
Yeah.
Like is there a lot to be obsessed about?
I don't know, but it was kind of like we always made fun of him for it, but he loved it. cool. What are we at here? Underrated, Chris.
Corn dogs.
I like it. But I always feel like I'm being an extra kind of fat when I eat those, so I don't eat them that much. But yeah, I agree. I like corn dogs a lot.
Yeah, I'm okay
with mustard.
Yeah, actually, I don't think my underrated can be mustard, but that is one of my favorite things.
I agree.
No, I'm saying mustard on a corn dog.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of neat when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings. They got the mini corn dogs, and you get it with the honey mustard. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid Mike
went
there.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Are they not out there, or you just never go?
I don't know if they're out here. I've heard of them before, so I... But,
they're hit or miss. You either love them or hate them.
You have to really love sports and loud sports to go there, like on a regular basis. If the idea of 47 different sporting events on 53 million different TVs sounds awesome, then you'll love it.
That sounds horrible.
There's no reason to go there then. Food's just okay.
See, I'm on the other side because I don't go when there's a million sporting events, but I love their food.
I like wings. I'm a fan of the wings.
The wings are good. I'll give them that. But I don't know. I don't know how many golf matches are on a Saturday, but it seems to be more than one, so that's weird.
That is weird. Are we still trying to figure out who's the best at that?
Golf?
Yeah.
Were we doing that before?
No, I just mean as a society.
Apparently someone is like super into it.
All right, so I guess it's up to you, Damian.
Well, like I said, I couldn't say mustard because I think it's not underrated because everyone likes mustard. Well, unless you hate mustard, everyone likes mustard. So
true.
Yeah, those little peppers. I'm not going to piggyback on those, but the times I've had those are damn good too. I don't think this is underrated either. But man, I fucking love sauerkraut. I love it.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
I've had it on sausage and stuff before. I've never had it on hot dogs, but it sounds good.
I've heard of that. I believe.
Well, at those fancy hot dog places, it's a thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's one of those things I'd be embarrassed just to eat it out of a jar, but I probably would.
Yeah, I mean, I don't eat it anymore, but, like, you know, growing up, my mom would cook with it a lot. Not a lot, but, you know, on occasion, and I loved it. I always had, like, the extra helping of just sauerkraut on the side, yeah.
Oh, sounds great. Yeah, so, all right, sure, I'm that'll be my thing, because that's, I do really love that.
No, I feel like I need to go back to the store. I just did grocery shopping, now I feel like I need to go buy sauerkraut and sriracha and cream cheese and hot dogs.
It's got to be cream cheese, sriracha, and grilled onions.
Oh,
and they can't be too grilled. You got to have a little bite to them.
Nah, I think it'd probably be easier just to come to Seattle.
It might be.
Well, that way, if I don't like it, I'm not left with all the extra ingredients.
That's true.
Right. The whole $4 I spent.
Well, when you go to that place tonight, see, maybe it's made it out there, or maybe you guys have realized it's insane.
Who knows. All right, moving right along to best thing ever. Obviously I've talked about my whole little record set up, and it's done, and I've been listening to my albums, and it's great. But I finally ordered just yesterday, because I'm sick of thinking about it.
Candlemass discography.
Yes! No. No, one of the greatest live albums ever recorded. Bill Withers, live at Carnegie Hall, double LP, newly remastered, re-released. I ordered it yesterday. It'll be here tomorrow. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I would have been more impressed if you said Candlemass discography.
I didn't say the Candlemass discography kind of peaked at the video for Bewitched.
I was thinking Mirror.
I just like the video for Bewitched because he's just standing in a parking lot singing "You Are Bewitched" while three dudes headbang in a circle around him. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, but it's kind of the best.
Mirror on the wall.
I think it's literally been 25 years since I've listened to Candlemass on purpose. I can recall the last time.
I know I was frightened when I saw their album cover. This was like when I was like 12.
I never was, because I saw them in power metal. I'm like, that guy looks like my aunt. Who cares?
Well, I got freaked out because like their covers were like so angelic, and then you look on the back and he's got like a crucifix with a skull on. He's got his black mask robe on.
Man, he looks like my aunt.
He looks like King Buzzo.
Hey, he looks like my aunt. So I was like, whatever. I already know what she looks like. I hope she doesn't hear this. She listens to this, I'm done for like a week. I have two, so I'll just kind of speed through them. The first one was, we talked about earlier, Wonder Woman. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, I kind of felt, and maybe it's just like an over-exuberant me, but I feel like as far as superhero movies go, this was the best one since the Avengers. Super pumped the entire movie, and the battle that came before the very end was like probably the most epic thing I've seen since the Avengers, easily. But after this movie was over, I basically decided that Gal Gadot is the gift from heaven that we've been waiting for.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
She just...
And did you know she was in the Israeli army? So she can, like, for real, kick your ass.
Isn't everyone from Israel in the Israeli army at some point?
Yeah,
I think you have to serve. No, it doesn't matter. Like, that's their law. You have to serve in their...
Compulsory service.
Yeah, for like 2 years, I think, or something like that.
But in addition,
like, everyone has to do it.
In addition to all that, like, she's just really charming and funny in this movie. Like, her acting is way better than I mean, not saying she's Oscar-worthy yet, but her acting is actually really competent, and she's just really super charming and really funny in this movie. And when she gets down, she, like, goes, like, she's got some epic moves. Like, she's my hero.
She's beautiful. She can do no wrong.
The other one would be our comic book shop, A&F, because today's Wonder Woman Day, and our comic shop's basically awesome anyway, and they're the greatest. But today they're doing a giant raffle for a large scale Wonder Woman bust. All the proceeds are going to a domestic abuse shelter, which is awesome. So I felt like I should give them a nod this week for that, because that super kicks ass. Because they buck the alleged, not trend, but the assumption that comic shops are just dirty pits full of sweaty guys that, you know, only care about superheroes, and they're not that at all. So,
is best thing ever. Everything's fine, I guess. I don't know. Best thing ever. Well, you know what would be the best thing ever is if we get our money back for our pool passes so we can get the pool for our yard.
That'd be neat.
I don't know what that means.
We had bought family pool passes, and we haven't gotten them yet or used them. You know, like we have to take a photo. So we tried to get our money back, and they're telling us, oh, you can't get your money back. I'm like, we haven't even taken our photo for the pass to go use it to go swimming in your pools. Why can't we just get the money back?
Because we already spent it, sir.
So that will be the best thing ever if we get our money back, and then we can get the pool for our yard. Because I'd rather just do that instead of having to go in public. And
yeah, I agree.
I want to be able to, like, jump from our tree into our pool and not be put in, like, a timeout by the lifeguard. So,
I'm on board.
Anyways. Right, but, I know it's boring.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't know. My best thing ever is I'm fairly certain that we might be having a new place lined up here. So
very nice.
I think I may have just paid the last month of rent on this place that I'm in now, which it's going to be a little sad to leave. I've been here for like 15 years, but it is time to go. And we've had two break-ins.
Ooh.
The people working on the place have flooded our apartment twice in the past few months. Like, we're just ready to go, ready to be done with this nonsense.
Well, I won't jinx anything just yet, but that's good to hear.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I mean, I'm giving it like, I'll give it up to like 50% chance right now. There's a lot of factors involved that could sway things in a direction that means that I don't get it, but we're on our way.
So. Yeah. Well, good news. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Well, alrighty then. That is going to wrap us up for the week. As always, you can find me on Twitter at XHorseNX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. And you can find Damien at Damien Johnston. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast. You can go to the Comic Roast to listen to all of our shows. You can go to Review and Roast to read all of our reviews. And don't forget, you can rate stuff and write your own reviews there. So head on over, join in the fun, and we will see you next week.